More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudet. This summer, the Idaho Botanical Gardens celebrated a special anniversary honoring 40 years of community building and an appreciation of nature. Well, now, as more and more visitors find their way to this gathering space, the nonprofit is making some big plans for its future. So joining us today to talk more is Erin Anderson, Executive Director of the Idaho Botanical Garden. Erin, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
So can you tell us a little bit about the history of the garden for folks who may not know much about it and how it was established?
Absolutely. So in 1984, the Botanical Garden was established by Dr. Christopher Davidson. He is a world-renowned horticulturist. And him and a group of community-minded individuals came together because they wanted to bring horticulture and horticulture education to our community here in the Treasure Valley.
So for those who have yet to visit the garden, Erin, can you talk to us a little bit more about the space itself? Because I think sometimes people don't realize just all of the plants and the flowers that are featured in this space.
Absolutely. When Dr. Davidson and the group of individuals had founded the garden, we started with three small garden spaces. It was our rose garden, our meditation garden, and our ambush garden. Those were the three primary spaces. We're located on 32 acres of property in the Old Idaho Penitentiary District. And much of our garden is on the grounds of the old penitentiary. For example, if you come out to the garden for an Outlaw Field concert, you will be sitting on the old activity yard from the penitentiary. That's where the inmates used to go outside, play baseball, play football. There was actually an outlaw team that played right on the field where you can come and see a Steve Miller Band concert or Nora Jones concert. So it's a site that's really rich with history. And we've continued to expand over the past 40 years from those first three initial spaces.
You know, I have to say, Erin, I've spent a lot of time out at the garden and of course it's obvious that the garden is right next to the old pen, but I don't think I ever put two and two together until you just said that the garden actually was a part of the old penitentiary grounds.
Yeah, we have so much rich history here at the garden. Not only were we part of the old penitentiary grounds, but even going further back, and primarily, first and foremost, we were gathering grounds for our local Native American tribes here because of the geothermal water activity that takes place in this district. So we have always been a place where people gather. And I try to make the joke that first people gathered together naturally, then there was some forced gathering on site where the old penitentiary is, and now we have gathering again of community coming together. And it's been this wonderful, wonderful, glorious place for most of the time. There's some history there that is quite unique with the penitentiary, and we are only one of a very small handful of botanical gardens that are located adjacent to a penitentiary. The other very well-known one is Alcatraz and their botanical garden. So that in itself makes us a unique place for people to want to come and visit.
Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. So I'm going to say on site, we've now grown to, we have 15 acres of developed space. We offer education programming, adult programming, opportunities for our community to gather through a multitude of different opportunities. That could be our Outlaw Field concert series that I mentioned. It could be our smaller concert series, which is Great Garden Escape. We have activities like Fall Harvest Days, Winter Garden Aglow, that takes place in the winter. We're really a year-round facility. Additionally, and on the premise where our founding individuals started the garden, we are a place to come and experience nature and horticulture here in the Treasure Valley. And everything that we plant at our garden grows well here in our region and in the sagebrush steppe ecosystem. And that's so important because, you know, we have an interesting climate here in Idaho and in the Treasure Valley. And as we all know, it continues to change. But what we really want to help people in our community understand is how you can have a natural and beautiful space, yet be growing things that grow really well here in our community. Not necessarily everything in our garden is native plants, but what we do focus on is what grows well here, plant this, don't plant that, so that everybody who comes to the garden can be inspired by what they can take from here and bring into their own landscapes and their own homes.
So what kind of upkeep goes into maintaining the garden, Erin?
Oh gosh, quite a bit. Many people don't know that we have over 40 staff members who help manage and maintain the garden. The largest department that we have here is our horticulture department, and we have 12 members of that department who keep everything looking beautiful and amazing. We have a facilities coordinator who helps with a lot of the infrastructure of the site. And then we have quite a few team members who are helping with our education components of everything that we offer. Our events, of course, we're a nonprofit, so our development team, volunteers, we have over 300 volunteers that come out to the garden on a weekly basis, whether that's through our events or through just the management and the maintenance of our garden spaces. And they donate over 15,000 hours of volunteer service a year. And so it really does take a village to ensure that we have the most beautiful space possible that's welcoming and inclusive for our community to gather in.
So as I mentioned, you just celebrated a huge milestone anniversary, 40 years. Tell us a little bit about a tree that was dedicated, I believe, by Scott Simplot, the Simplot family.
That's right. So when we had first hosted our ribbon cutting ceremony 40 years ago, Jack Simplot came out on site and planted a tree with the founding board members. And that tree is still in our meditation garden. And this year, Scott Simplot came out and we dedicated that tree to the Simplot family and their legacy here at the garden and to all of those founding board members as a thank you. Who would have known that this little tree that they had donated and planted at the time would really be the centerpiece of our meditation garden now and how much our garden has continued to grow over the past 40 years.
So when I think of the botanical garden here, and I don't even know where to start with all of the programs and the events that take place at the botanical garden throughout the year. But at the same time, you know, it's not a massive space. So do you have plans on expanding the garden?
Thank you. Right now, we have a land lease. It's a very long-term land lease with the state of Idaho here in the historic district, and we have 32 acres of property. We currently have 15 acres developed to what everybody knows and sees at the botanical garden when you come in for any one of our activities. We also have 10 acres of undeveloped land at the front of the garden as you're coming in through our parking area. And then at the very back of the garden, we have an additional 8 acres of property. Every 15 to 20 years, botanical gardens go through a process of master planning. And essentially what a botanical garden's master plan is it is a map of the future of what the garden will physically look like, but it's also a programmatic map of what types of programming and community assets and partnerships we're looking to contribute to the overall well-being of the Treasure Valley. So a few years ago, we finalized our new master plan and updated that. And within there, we've come up with three different phases of growth. The first phase is for our undeveloped 10 acres of property. If you're familiar with the garden, when you come in through the entrance, you'll often see several stone structures. That's the area that we'll first be developing. The second phase of the project would be our existing garden, and that would be beautifying that space and updating and upgrading. And then the last would be 8 acres that goes right up into the Boise foothills. But right now, we're working on a really large project and capital campaign to expand into those 10 acres of space. We do such an amazing job of hosting events and activities here, but one thing that we don't have is any permanent infrastructure. So this expansion project will include a 22,000 square foot indoor facility that'll be for our education programs, our administrative offices, and a large event space and a food hub. The event space and the food hub will be shared with a few of our partners, Boise Farmers Market, that will be sharing in our event space, and that will be the new permanent year-round location for the Boise Farmers Market. So they won't be moving from parking lot to parking lot throughout the downtown core. They will be here permanently. And that will also allow them to run a market in a year-round capacity. And in partnership with the City of Good nonprofit organization, we'll also be including a food hub. And a food hub is essentially a space for farmers to come in and minimally process, package, and store produce. Any excess produce that they have from the farmers market could be stored, processed, and then distributed from that space. And that can go into the general food system. For the food that doesn't go into the general food system through restaurants or hospitals or schools, City of Good will help distribute that to low-income families in our community. So there's a lot going on in just the interior built space, but we'll also be adding several gardens, a new arboretum, which will be an interpretive space for the importance of trees and urban forests and canopies. We'll have a horticulture therapy garden that will work with at-risk adults and children. We'll have a new vegetable garden that will be close to our visitor center that will also have a new shop, a store, and then also a cafe. And then we'll have a scholar garden that's dedicated in honoring Dr. Davidson, our founding director. So a lot of things are going to be taking place simultaneously, and we have some really amazing partners. We'll have an outdoor event center, which will have a new stage, a small stage, something more similar for like a 12 to 1500 person capacity, but working with a lot of our local cultural arts groups like the ballet and the opera and Boise Contemporary Theater to find a stage and an outdoor space that suits their needs as well.
Well, so many exciting things happening at the Botanical Garden. Erin, thanks so much for your time. We've been talking with the executive director of the Idaho Botanical Garden, Erin Anderson, about the 40th anniversary, about all of the plans coming up for the garden. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.